Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is February 28th, 2020. And welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by Kevin Combs, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Michael. Hello, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Yes, it is.
What a happy, happy Friday. And today, Kevin, I thought we would talk about two things that are hot in the news and hot in our industry of sugar and corn sweeteners. One, I'd like to get your perspective on the sweetener colloquium. We talked a little bit about it earlier in the week, but wanted to give your additional thoughts on it. And then secondly, this coronavirus. I want to have you talk a little bit about the potential impact on commodities of the coronavirus. So sound fair?
Sounds fair.
All right. Let me take my fedora off and why don't you get started. So what was your perspective of the colloquium this year?
Well, first off, I think everyone wanted to talk about sugar. So there was a lot of conversations as far as what supply demand is going to be like for the balance of this year. Are we going to have enough sugar? What's the USDA going to do to rectify any potential sugar supply issues? And then, of course, what about 2021? Where are prices going to go? How high will they be? Will they be a lot lower than the spot price?
Yep.
Will they be a lot higher than last year's price? Yep.
Yep.
So a lot of conversations in both regards.
Okay.
First off, you know, when I looked at the presentations that were given, you know, we had an independent analyst talk about the sugar program on Monday. Then we had the USDA talking on Tuesday. Yep. We had pretty polar differences in opinions on what was going to happen. And really, I think it comes down to something probably in between those two is reality is the USDA person speaking pretty much used, in her own words, a maximum approach. How much sugar could we get into the United States? How much sugar will we get from Mexico? Mm-hmm. And let's face it, the USDA wants to make sure that they don't get any sugar forfeited. And if they overshoot supply and we get too much sugar this year, plus we end up with a big crop next year, we've seen it happen before where they brought in a bunch of sugar in August and then we had a record beet crop. We end up with too much sugar.
Yep.
And we had forfeitures. Well, they have control of supply demand and I don't think we got to fear that from Mexico. I really think they could be taking a little bit more aggressive approach on supply demand.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have the sugar refining industry, which is saying, hey, give us a chance. We can sell out our capacity. And so I think the USDA is going to be patient here is the best way of putting it. That's not their words, but my view of this is, hey, let's be patient. Let's give them a chance to book out their volume. Then they can address imports. And that's really the way the suspension agreements were laid out and making sure everything goes smoothly and still give enough time for imports. But first off, give the U.S. industry time to do their thing.
Right. I mean, we haven't even planted the next beet crop. We haven't even had the planting intentions report. Things haven't even thawed out and everywhere except for where we're at right now, Kevin. I'm sorry, the sun's in my eyes. But anyway, so, you know, hey, let's be a little bit patient about this. Let's not overreact, if you will, and see what happens and see if we can't manage a good program. Yep. What else did you hear down there?
Well, I think one of the other interesting things was obviously Mexico's crop and where are we going to get enough sugar in to make sure we have supplies. You and Craig talked a little bit about that on Tuesday and the wide range of estimates from Mexico. You know, I just went back through our estimates and based on yields being off around 8.5 tons per acre so far this year.
Okay.
And then too dry over the rainy season, Mexico impacted and caused, you know, drought conditions reduced their yields. Now the problems turn to where they're getting too much rain in a lot of areas and mills are not able to crush. They're actually having to shut down because they're not getting cane into their facilities. Man. So it's dragged out to where the pace is also way behind.
Okay.
Arguments were presented by a gentleman from Mexico at the colloquium that they'll be able to extend the campaign a couple of weeks. They'll get the cane in there, and they'll have additional sugar to make it to the United States. So that's a big question mark, in my opinion, as to whether that happens. It could get rainy again come late May, early June, start of the next rainy season, and they won't get it in. So it appears the USDA is going to, again, operate on the side that most of that sugar is going to come. But when you get to April, mid-May, you'll know exactly where they're at by mid-May.
Sure.
So by being casual, giving Mexico the chance to fulfill most of their quota, again, being patient, which, you know, is frustrating to users when you see where spot prices are today and having trouble source sugar. But it's still enough time to get sugar in and make sure we transition well between the crop years.
It can produce and crush through July, right? As long as the rainy season doesn't hit them, or is that?
That's a bit stretched. Through June is possible. Okay. If the rains stay away, you often will get some mills going towards late June. Getting into July is a big stretch for most of the mills in Mexico, and they certainly hope they're getting a lot of rain to help out the new crop by the time they get there. So in summary, you know, when I look at Mexico, look at their smaller crop, I think they're obviously not going to be able to meet our demands to bring us back up to 13.5% stocks to use ratio. When you look at their production and demand, they probably be able to export about 1.4 million metric tons if things work out and they get closer to 5.5 million tons. We need 1.8, maybe, you know, if we see any more slippage on our production or anything, you know, maybe 1.9 million tons of additional imports beyond our TRQ imports. So we're looking 300,000-400,000 tons of needs for raw sugar.
Okay.
And it would be nice to see, just because of the hard time people are finding to find sugar right now, to see maybe them throw on a little bit of refined sugar just to calm the market and make a smooth transition to new crop. Because what we've seen over the last year in particular, there were some times where we had some capacity issues, things happen, and we had trouble. If you don't have any of that, it could be fairly smooth sailing the way things are. But if you run into any trouble, then, you know, it becomes disastrous. So from my standpoint, it would make sense for a small refined quota, maybe 100,000 tons, maybe 150,000 tons, just to smooth things over.
Just to smooth things over, help us get through until the new crop, until they start producing again. Okay.
Right.
Anything else?
Oh, they're not going to listen to me. So
come on, Kevin. Everybody listens to you.
Everybody listens. All right. Well, except when it comes to making decisions that affect big business.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, let's move on to the coronavirus. And obviously, this has been a very hot topic, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear. And I'm looking at all the markets, and I thought it'd be good we talk a little bit about that. But, you know, I mean, it reminds me of, you know, you talk about fear, Kevin, and there's this product I bought called Irish Peat. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but as I watch the crude oil market, I'm like, maybe I need to call that guy that I bought that Irish Peat from. Really cool guy. So if you're interested in Irish Peat, let me know, because I know the guy. And I bought it for my dad for Christmas. And do we need to fear everything and buy all this Irish Peat? What's going on with the coronavirus? Katie bar the door?
Well, fear and uncertainty are two things that drive markets.
Yeah.
And uncertainty, I think, is the biggest one here. Fear you're not going to get supplies, aren't going to be able to. Uncertainty about how demand's going to go. So we've seen, you know, things start to take hold this past week where markets are trading off significantly. You've got the stock market trading off nearly 15%. I think it's starting to recover a little bit today. But when you look at the commodity world, you know, whether it's cocoa, chocolate, sugar, grains, we're off anywhere from, you know, down 3% on some of the grains here in the United States to off closer to around 8 to 10% on some of the products I just mentioned, like cocoa, et cetera. So,
yeah, I mean, you look at things like almonds, and you've done a lot of work in almonds over the years, and you look at the exports of almonds to China, and there's a lot of things coming out now like, hey, you know, if they don't take the, I think they're the number two export for almonds.
Number two market, yeah. Depending on how you look at Europe and as a whole, and then China's second. So,
So almonds has been talked about as, hey, if the demand's not there for almonds, we could see, you know, they're planning almost a record crop this year. Is that correct?
Well,
in almond industry?
Almond industry, you got this history of more and more plantings going on year over year. So they got more trees to harvest. Crop that we're in now has come out much larger than was anticipated. That's helped bring prices down. But then you just throw exports. Exports are 70% of the almond market.
Unreal.
Huge. And that question mark on demand, with China being one of those big markets in particular, is, you know, bringing export potential down. So people are worried about that. And once again, that just put a little bit more pressure on price in addition to the bigger supply than anticipated. And then we're sitting there looking out our window over the last month here in California and going, wow, this weather has been sensational. We've had like a quarter inch of rain in February. So we've been looking at blue skies. And what that means is the bees are working. The bloom doesn't have any real interruptions. There's a couple windy days here or there, but nothing substantial. And you're looking at the possibility of having a great crop come next year.
Yeah, and you're seeing like the number 11 raw sugar market take declines this week. You can talk about soybeans, the same type of thing. So I think there's just a lot of, when you look at those markets, there's a lot of non-commercials in those, and in those particular markets. And I think people are getting out.
Yeah, it's really, they're looking at it is, are we going to have a loss of demand as a result of all the disruptions? You've had factories closing in China. A lot of things. When you look at our exports, there's certainly some question on demand. Fortunately, most of our demand on most of our products are internal, so it'll support that market to a degree. But some of those truly global commodities, where China is a huge importer, has really come into question. And then as coronavirus has been spreading to other countries, it's just building on that. And that's what really hit home, is that it wasn't able to be contained in China. Not that it was expected. Most people thought this was going to get out and become a global issue. But, you know, hopefully it has a short spike and a quick tail, and this goes away sooner than later and doesn't continue to interrupt the commodity cycles. Because when you look at products that are coming from China to the United States, you really have issue. Are you going to be able to get those products? Are they going to come? Is the supply going to be available? And that's where I'd have the biggest fear coming up in the next 2 to 3 months, because of that supply chain takes generally about 4 to 6 weeks to get over here. And we start seeing where they weren't producing product. Is it really going to be steadily available?
Yeah, and I think it's just a little too early to tell what the true impact obviously is going to be. And in the food business, you know, we always say people have to eat. So as long as the supply chain's there, and things come back to normalcy, you know, we'll get back to regular markets. So until that time.
Yeah, and in a pinch, they can eat more almonds.
Almonds. I
love there you it. Go. Almonds. Just a can a day. That's all they ask.
Okay, cool. Even walnuts, too. Oh, yummy. All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. And for those that haven't registered to our spring seminar on April 29th in Oak Brook, Illinois at the La Merida, you can do that on our website at McKinney-Favel.com. Those are at the Sweetener Colloquium, got your picture with me and my fedora. You get a discount code. Those that are going to the Natural Products Expo next week in Anaheim, I'm going to have my fedora. So if you want to get your picture with me there and get your discount, seats are limited. They're signing up fast. The room's only so big. So go ahead and register. And yeah, as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every moment. Be blessed with what you got. And until next week, take care, everybody.
Have a good one, everyone.
Bye now.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney-Favel's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favel.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.